Good morning, St. James.
Good morning.
Ooh, I like the energy. Wonderful. My name is Kate Riley, and I am the Diocesan Youth Missioner, and I am absolutely so delighted to be with you all this morning. I got to visit about a year ago, so I said it was far too long and decided to come back. And I'm really delighted that we're here during our Lenten journey as it continues. Easter is still a couple weeks away, and so I was really taking the gospel this week and thinking about what it means to sacrifice. Most people, when Lent begins, ask, well, what are you going to give up? Because that's what we automatically associate with sacrifice, loss. But we all know too much in our daily lives what it is to lose something or someone. We're all really familiar with loss as it is. But luckily, we also know through our Heavenly Father the joys of unconditional love. So I always remind my youth that they don't have to give something up during the Lenten season. They have to make a godly sacrifice. Something that says, I'm trying to make myself worthy. So this year, my Lenten discipline was just to be healthier. Little bit of exercise here and there, 8 hours of sleep, and little to no junk food, which is really hard considering my addiction to chocolate. But these are some really intense challenges when you work with teenagers on a regular basis. So doing God's work full time is a challenge when you're trying to fulfill a promise to God in and of itself. But luckily, my unconditional love of the Father lets me work through those crazy days. And that makes me wonder what makes, that is why I know what makes our youth weekend so wonderful. We have this beautiful retreat called New Beginnings. And this is a retreat that most of the middle schoolers from St. James have been to, so I'm going to brag on them a little bit. I hope you don't mind. But we didn't always do New Beginnings in the diocese. In fact, this is only our third year of this wonderful weekend at Camp Wright. So I'm going to do a little backtracking and let you all know the origins of New Beginnings. A year after college, I was really lost, and I didn't have a calling from God at the time, or so I thought. I worked as a barista on Sunday, so I didn't attend church. I felt really lost. I was just kind of meh. So I spoke with my priest, and I spoke with Bishop Burnett, who was our assistant bishop at the time, and they both suggested that I look into something called the Episcopal Service Corps. So for 11 months of my young adult life, I spent a year in intentional community. I spent a year working for a nonprofit that was really focused on social justice. And I spent 11 months making absolutely no money, which at 22 I was pretty used to anyway. But those 11 months were literally the best time of my life, serving God full time, living with people who knew that social justice was a reason to live, and making sure that I was doing the work that God had actually called me to do from the start. I got to work under my mentor and predecessor, Father Wes Wobenhorst, and I was really blessed to be his intern for that year because I was worried, being a layperson, that I wouldn't have the necessary skill set to be a youth minister. I didn't have that in-depth knowledge of the Bible. I didn't have a collar. I couldn't perform Eucharist. Like, what could I do? But he knew that I was a child of this diocese. I was a youth who was raised through the program that I now direct. He knew that I knew every gift that I had that God had given to me was there for a reason. He saw great things in me even when I couldn't see those things in myself. So what does he do? He gives me a huge project towards the end of my intern year. We don't really have a lot to do for our middle schoolers. Why don't you just make up a retreat for them? Okay, that sounds easy, we'll do that. So I got together with the interns out at Camp Claggett who had done this retreat before, and we gathered all the materials necessary from the Diocese of Chicago, and we spent long hours talking about the theme and why we do it and the purpose and everything. But then it came time to actually implement this. So I had all the materials, I had all the energy in myself to do it. Now I just needed kids. It's a little harder than it seems. Would you like to send your children on a retreat weekend that we've never done before? We're not sure if it's going to work. Okay, great. That sounds great. So I gathered the high school youth up from our youth leadership program who I know had a calling to work with younger students. And I said to them, okay, we've got this great new idea. We just need you to implement it. And they said, awesome, that sounds great. And I also need you to get middle schoolers. Cool, I know a few of those. So we gathered 27 of us for the first time at Camp Wright. And the beautiful thing about New Beginnings is it's geared towards middle schoolers, so there's a lot of movement and a lot of this to that to keep their brains active and their bodies in motion. And so we do a lot of little skits. And the skit that came to mind as I was reading the gospel this week was the giving tree. Most of you probably know the story. It was either read to you as a child, or you've read it to your children or children that you've taken care of. In my mind, it's a parable in its own right. It's about unconditional love here on earth and how we can implement that. So I need you all to use your imaginations because I'm not going to embarrass the kids too much. But in this skit, we have a narrator who sits in her chair, kind of reads through the story, and then we have a kid who's a tree. We have the one who plays the small child, and it's a beautiful process. And for those of you who work with teenagers, you know how easily embarrassed they can get. So seeing 16-year-olds in these ridiculous costumes, holding tree branches and collecting fake apples off the ground, is quite a sight to be seen, because you know they're doing it for the love of each other. So as we talk about what this parable means to these kids, the small groups gather and they share with each other moments of unconditional love that they've shared, either with their parents, with their after-school clubs, with their churches, with each other. And it brings tears to your eyes to know that these kids have that sense that they are loved no matter what they do. And then you wonder where it goes when they're in high school and they get self-conscious and they get nervous and they get embarrassed really easily, despite how fun it is to do that to them. So as I was sitting with this gospel and I was meditating on it, I noticed that Mary is our tree. She gives of herself. She doesn't have much. A little perfume, her hair, her tears. But in just 1 minute, when she sees Jesus, she gives all that she has, from literally herself and from her pocket, and she gives it to God. And those around her are saying things like, why is she doing this? We could have sold that. There are much better purposes. Everyone thinks she's a little crazy. But she does it anyway, because she knows what good will come of it. Now, we don't have the opportunity to wash the feet of Christ literally, to have a chance to truly bow down before him and give all that we are and all that we have in one moment. That will forever be Mary's example to us, our tree. But we can be an example to one another, to those who admire us, giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving of our love, and yes, the occasional check, but still giving of self, until we don't feel that loss anymore. Being part of a community like St. James or New Beginnings is rooted in God's word, and that's what makes those communities so intricately special. Everyone has space to try and grow in Christ, to hear God's call, and to feel that unconditional love here on earth. How could you not give all of yourself to that? My job as your youth missioner is to make sure that our young people find that space in such a secular, busy world. It's so hard for them to put their phones down for a minute, but we ask them to do it for a whole weekend so that they can really connect with one another and connect to God. We gather every week at this beautiful table to celebrate a liturgy and to do worship and to gather around the bread and the wine. And that's a beautiful thing. We've done it for hundreds of years because it's how we praise God. But we are all honored to be missioners of this church, not just Kristen, not just myself. We all have a ministry that we're called to. And that ministry is asking us to leave this building and take it out into the world, because God's love cannot be contained in four walls or on one plate. I know that working with our youth is what gives my soul energy. It might drain my body from time to time, But at the end of a long weekend, I am energized, I am happy, I am fulfilled. And as a 25-year-old, giving up my social time, my weekends, my summer, that's a lot for a 25-year-old to give up all that social time. But I know that I wouldn't be anywhere else because of these wonderful kids that I get a chance to work with and the amazing adults who I get a chance to communicate with and be with. It might seem crazy, but that's what ministry is sometimes. I couldn't ask for more than to be part of new beginnings and happening in this diocese and all the other retreats that we get to be a part of. Each weekend is a gift. It's not only a gift for the kids who are there to give to one another of community and space to be themselves and communicate with Christ. It's a gift to bring back to their parish of love and energy and willingness to do work. It's a gift to give to their parents for a weekend alone. It's a gift to give to God, to spend time in silence and in retreat mode. I encourage you all to find the ministry that God is calling you to do and to give all of yourself as Mary did. As Bishop Sutton would say, you just have to give until you feel good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.